Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 55, Irma De Hoyos Rojas. Got it. Whew, tough one. Man, I just love this interview. This is one impressive individual. This is another great interview for the series Women in E-Commerce because, again, it just tells you the strength that is out there. And, you know, hey, let's face it, these are your competitors, but, man, you can learn so much from them. Irma has a undergrad from Princeton, and she went to Northwestern, the School of Management, Kellogg, with an MBA. I mean, she absolutely has impressive education. But here's the difference. She's been able to take that education and apply it to her e-commerce, specifically in Amazon business. In the second segment, we'll talk about it more, but she doesn't have a warehouse. It's intentional. She doesn't have a warehouse. She uses an office building. Now think about the connotation, what that represents, right? So all of us want warehouses and, you know, that, you know, kind of the dirty side of this business. She's not into it. She's like, that's Amazon's strength. I'm using Amazon as my warehouse. I don't want inventory at my place. We are a professional operation. And when you hear that she has a department that does nothing but create listings, you're going to sit and say, whoa. I mean, you should pause and say, whoa, this is an opportunity to learn. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest, man, we are long ways apart. We are on the opposite ends of the coasts. I'll narrow it down a little bit. You're in warmer weather than I am. It's, although it hit 50 today in my place when it normally is snowing, so I'm a little better than that. But mega seller, wholesale, bundler, I mean, just incredible results. Been selling a pretty long time with a lot of experience, and I can't wait to really get to know her better. Irma De Hoyos Rojas. Did I say it right?
That's right. Good job.
All right. Welcome, Irma. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, we met at CES as a little bit of the pre-show we were talking about at a party, a whiskey tasting party, which I did not partake. I drank light beer. I'm so nerdy on that stuff. But it was interesting to me because there were a bunch of people in there I didn't know, but it was fascinating to see the conversation. Now, you were hanging with a bunch of women. You guys were like in there was a clique. There was definitely, you guys were like a power group. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. There's momentum when us women got together and then we shared a hotel room. So that was nice. That was the bonding. It felt like college again.
Yeah, you were into. I was intimidated. Just so you know, as a man, I was very intimidated. But what was cool was I think, you know, you'd mentioned something early on. It was like you gelled, and I think that's just so important, is finding people you gel with. Had you not found that before? With other sellers?
Yeah. No. I had. In general, but more specifically, again, rooming with the other women sellers and spending more time with them. I think that was important. I mean, I had been to other conferences, but I had taken my sister, I had taken my husband and son. And so I didn't spend that out of meeting time with them, with other sellers. And this time, you know, I went by myself in Louisville where everything was, you know, kind of close together. So logistically, it just lent itself to spending more time with each other. And that's valuable. I mean, that's more valuable than the meetings themselves.
I totally agree. The relationships that, you know, I've been to two of those, CES, and this year I went to Baltimore to a conference, and Chicago, I was in another conference. The relationships are getting real. They're not just Facebook, you know, friends. Oh, I like the puppy that goes, you know, whatever. They're real, right? There's real depth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you start, you know, of course, calling each other, texting each other. And it was so funny. Another seller here, she didn't know, she had been putting off as an example. So we're sitting, you know, in bed, getting ready for bed, to go to bed. And she just mentioned how she had so much to do. And then she had all these feedbacks to remove. and because they were, you know, product or they were FBA, and she had been delaying that because she thought that she would have to write a letter as to like how to, you know, requesting to remove the negative feedback. I said, no, you do it with your cell phone while I'm waiting in line for the red light. I do that. And she said, what? Let me show you. And we literally there, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, bedside, removing feedbacks, negative feedbacks, and, you know, doing it on the cell phone. And she's just like, Irma, you have no idea the weight you just took off my shoulder. I had been, that been lagging around for, you know, a month, needing to do that. And you did it in, you know, 2 seconds here. And I said, yeah, you know, and that's an example of where we don't know what we know and what we don't know. You know, it's just, there's so much information. You can do so much that one person cannot handle it. And I don't know about others, but I myself learn, you know, from experience, from others. I'm definitely a people person. And I mean, I probably can count the number of YouTube videos I've watched and books. Well, you know, I buy books. I do love books, but do I read them? No, I can't say that I do. So I my knowledge, you know, is from others and from Facebook, you know, the groups I am. Like I said, I find time in between red lights and lines and, you know, waiting for the cashiers that when I do my RA, that's where I get my information. And so that's an example, very specific example.
That's a great example. But it's a great example because, you know, again, you now transferred that knowledge to her. She'll transfer it on to somebody else. And it's painful to go figure that out by yourself. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I get a little annoyed sometimes when somebody's making fun of somebody new. They're like, oh, come on, they're asking those questions. Hey, we were all at that place, mm-hmm. you know? And so I remember what a struggle some of this stuff was to figure out. And, you know, you've been selling a long time too. It was way different. It was a lot harder, a lot of the stuff way back. And so now, you know, some of it's a little bit easier, and I'd rather see somebody not have to struggle with that, because I want to be that person that gives, not always taking. So that's a great example, very good example. Where did you get – I mean, what did you do before becoming a reseller? You had mentioned that offline that you started selling when your son was born. But what did you do prior to that?
Immediately prior to that, I was a mortgage loan officer. So I enjoyed the run of the mortgages and the real estate in Las Vegas, of all places.
Oh, wow.
So I had a lot of fun. I mean, being single in Las Vegas, making buku money, it was.
Oh, so you were in there for the run. I mean, it was a run too, right? That was a mega run.
Run. I'm talking low. I mean, really, you didn't. I still remember. You know, there were, of course, stated income loans. I mean, I'll just quickly say there was a Denny's waitress that I put. She made $7,000 a month in tips, and it just flew by, you know. So anyway, yes, after that, there's no way you can get away with that now. But yeah, so I've had that career. I've had many careers, you know, after I'm highly educated, I should say. I do have an MBA from Kellogg Northwestern. And the reason why I say that is because it's given me the confidence to do whatever I want. And right now, this is my dream come true. I jokingly say that I finally found what I wanted to do the rest of my life, you know. And definitely this is it. I love selling on Amazon. And but, of course, looking back on all my ex-careers from working in coal mines, I was an auditor for ARCO Coal Mines. And yes, I went into coal mines and worked there. And I mean, I've just a whole bunch of different jobs. But of course, they all lead to this. And so this is my passion. It's not work. My husband has to remind me to stop working because I forget.
You love it. Well, I want to take us to break. When we come back, I want to talk about what you love specifically about it. I'm going to get down. I want to understand a little bit more because, you know, somebody so highly educated, you could write your own ticket if you wanted to. But there's a reason you don't, and I want to get to your why. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Excited to bring on a new sponsor today, YourSourcedInventory.com. That's YourSourcedInventory.com, where they focus on shoes and clothing, great gated categories, high average selling price. Remember that high average selling price with a good return of investment means more profit in your pocket. Here's some stats they sent me for September. In shoes, they averaged the top 2%, average rank of 7,000, net profit of almost $30 with an ROI of 89%. Those are good numbers. Clothing, top 2 to 3%, average rank was 4,000. $1,132, net profit of about $12, and ROI, again, of 104%. Those are great. These are online deals that are sent to you 5 days a week. You get 10 items a day. You're going to be able to grow your business from the comfort of your home. This is exactly what we needed for our business. It's the reason we're using them. So we think this is a great way that you can move forward in a great category. YourSourcedInventory.com. YourSourcedInventory.com. Okay, so we're going to get into the meat of the podcast and really specifically talk about running and scaling up a business. But I'm again, so impressed with the knowledge and the just that education and applying it to this business. I just think that that's sorely missed. However, you're seeing it. So you need to step up your game. You don't have to go to Princeton or to Northwestern to be able to do this. And Irma's going to tell you that. What you have to do is be consistent. You have to keep focus and stay consistent. She talks about winning her Amazon titles, right? She's going to restrict back and really focus on the ones that are doing well. We could all learn from this. Everybody says, hey, go wide, not deep. She's not saying not to go wide. She's just saying don't go as wide. And I think that that's great, sound advice. So we spent some time in this segment talking about how she's able to figure out things. She wants to be the lead in a trend, not at the tail end of it. And I think there's great advice in that, right? So how she approaches it, how she starts looking for them, seeing them out there in Facebook, following groups like Disney, their Facebook account, they all have one, right? She's following it. Then she's looking at Google Trends and she's digging deeper. She's finding product ideas from Etsy. And again, looking at those trends and then putting it together. Love it, love it, love it. This is great information for you to take in 2016. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Irma, and she is a bundle of, you know, just energy and just enthusiasm, and you can't help but be caught up into it. And I'm calling you a mega seller. You've had an incredible year last year. You're having an incredible year this year, and you're having fun. You describe this as your dream job. Here, you're highly educated. You've had a lot of good careers. You could pretty much work where you want to. Why do you love selling on Amazon specifically?
Specifically, it's the immediate feedback that I get in terms of creating a product. Like, as I say, I love to bundle, and I create products. I meet needs, and I'm able to get instantly a feedback, especially right now, being the holidays and everybody buying online right now. This is peak buying time. Literally, you can put something for sale and you will get a reaction immediately, whether it's a good product or it's going to take a little bit longer to develop. And I love that. I just love that I can stand in front of millions of people and demonstrate my product and know that it's a hit. I can tell you the times that I listed something and I get a new listing, and I put it up and I get an instantaneous purchase. And that's a high.
It is a high. And so I want to go through, let's see how Irma thinks. So walk us through how you develop a bundle. Where do you start? Is it you just laying in bed or you see something on TV or you're in a store or all of those?
No, I do follow trends. Like, I'm a big trend follower. So on Facebook, for example, because that's where I am and that's where, in my limited time, that's where I end up. So on Facebook, I follow several groups, like movie theaters, like Disney, of course, like, Descendants. Once I find characters that I know that are on the rise, I follow them. I like the page. And so I get feeds of what's hot and what's not.
Well, wait, stop there a second. So you find you're following Disney, and all of a sudden you start seeing people or the company posting about Descendants. Let's use that example, right?
Yes.
And so now all of a sudden you're starting to see people liking it. Is that what you're one of the triggers you're looking for?
Yes.
Or comments?
Yes,
is that what
comments.
You're looking for?
Then I do a little bit of my research. I go to Google Trends, which I highly recommend, Google Trends.
Right.
And you type in their phrases, because that's what that tells you, what people are searching for on Google's. And it's a graph. It's a very simple up and down graph, which anybody can read, and that will give you trends on search terms. So I will type in, you know, Descendants party. I will type in, you know, Nerf guns, purple, you know, to see who's looking for a purple Nerf gun, and see what the trend is. And so I'm looking always for trends, and because I want to be at the beginning of a trend.
Right. You don't want to be at the tail end of a trend. So you want to start the wave, right, with the wave, right?
Yes, exactly.
So you take that. Let's take that Descendants a little further, right? So you saw it out there. You started seeing there's a buzz about it. Now, do your kids take interest in it, or I mean, are you? I mean, do they start? Do you start hearing it from the kids too, or are you? Do you?
No, I don't. No, well, my son is six. No, I don't really.
Okay.
Again, I just
okay.
use Google Trends and I on Facebook pages, and then of course I start seeing rankings of, you know, toys, Descendant toys.
Okay.
On Amazon, I start monitoring the rankings of those products, of the dolls and etc. And then I start creating bundles of different items that, you know, even if it's a purple and a pink towel and I put it together with, you know, socks that say Descendants, and suddenly I have a Descendants gift set.
See, this is gold, everybody. Now listen again to what she's saying. So she's saying, hey, we're just going to keep using Descendants because it's an easy one, right? So you're out there, you're looking at the trends, you identified, this looks like there's a positive thing. You then do your other Google AdWords, right? And you're looking for those trends, right? And as you say, they are graphs, so it really makes it easy. And then you're out there looking and seeing it starting to move up the ranks, or down the ranks, I guess it would be, in Amazon, the ranks falling. And so you're seeing it get closer to selling a lot. You're watching that velocity, and then you're taking advantage of it. Do you use merchant words or any of the keyword search things, or is it really what you did from the Google Trends that helped drive the search terms that you put in for your bundles?
Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, I do use merchant keywords, but I would say more my page creators. You know, I have employees that just all they do is create pages, and they know to use that. Certainly I, you know, I'm aware of them and so forth. I want to say I do that. And then my other research is literally walking the aisles of Walmart and Target. Those are the two stores that are in front of trends. Specifically, y'all are going to laugh, but at Target, when you walk in, you know, they have that, they call it the one spot where they have the dollar, $2, $3 items.
Yep.
That is your trend. Right there are your trends. Just go there and you will see all the future trends, because those buyers are the ones, in a way, it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. They're maybe setting the trend because, you know, the buyers are making that available. And then, but of course, they're getting their information too. So you can get a lot of information from that one spot. And also and from Walmart, the what they put on the end aisles, you know, the end caps. That's what is the future. That's what's hitting. That's what's going to be popular. And so I start to see those patterns there, and you know, like I said, that's where I start to make the bundles. You begin to see Descendants, the socks, the stationery sets, whatever. But they're telling you right there, this is what's gonna hit, and that's where you got to go in that direction. You know, so that's how I do have a lot of seasonality in my business. I do have replenishments, you know, things that I'm always selling, but I do enjoy, I mean, the fun part for me is being first to market. You know, Shopkins, everybody knows about Shopkins toys. Well, I specialize in party supplies, so then I said, well, you know, people, you have all these kids loving Shopkins. And now, of course, when kids love something, then they want to party around it. So they wanted they wanted a birthday party around it, and there was no party supplies of Shopkins. So then I began to look at what I could turn into a Shopkin. So I found all these party supplies that had animated faces and balloons that had, like, as long as they had a smiley face, then to me it's Shopkins.
When you're thinking that way, right, so you're thinking of a party, are you saying, okay, I'm going to put a party plan together for 8 kids, and I'm going to have plates and napkins and, as you say, balloons and the things that, you know, I guess with a 6-year-old, you're going to parties, right? You're seeing what people use at a party. Does that help?
Not really. I guess my son is still young, and maybe we should be going to more parties, but we don't necessarily.
Well, you're too busy. You're crushing it, selling it. You're too busy.
Yeah,
you don't have time.
So, I mean, I tell you what, watching commercials, you know, he does, well, actually, he watches more Netflix. But I do turn on the TV, and I just watch commercials on Saturday mornings because I know that that's what's being targeted. That's what's being pushed. You know, it's push-pull, you know, relationship out there. So I watch commercials on the children's channels. But more really it's Facebook. It's Facebook pages, belonging to pages, to Marvel, again, to Disney, to the movies, it's just being on top, because that's what I enjoy. Now, again, other business plans, business goals are not necessarily around that, but that has worked for me, and I enjoy it. So
it sounds like you're having fun. Now, you have a pretty good sized staff, so do you have people dedicated to doing this, just creating bundles and just creating listings?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Wow. And these are, I mean, how many, let me ask you this question, if you wouldn't mind sharing. What percentage of your sales would you say are standalone products versus bundles? You're a big wholesale buyer, so,
yeah.
You know, is that an odd question?
I bundle the wholesale items. So.
No, I get it. I mean, is that an odd question? You know what I'm saying?
I believe it's going to be like around really 50-50.
Wow. That's incredible to think that with your level of sales that you have created your own. I mean, you know, it's kind of like we said offline about private label. Your bundles are private label. Call them what you want. That is the same concept. I mean, you're really taking products and putting them together to create your own listing, you know, your own UPC code, and you're creating pretty much a unique listing, right? Do you find that most of your listings stay unique because of where you source?
Yes, that is the goal, to stay unique. I'll mix, if I do RA, I'll mix an RA item with an OA item with an Amazon item, to make it the trail really hard for another seller. So it's a combination of meeting the needs of the buyers and making it hard for the seller.
Now, do you then take and advertise that once you put it out on, or is it because you've already done so much of the research, you know that they're going to find it because they're searching for the terms that you put in?
I don't usually do advertisement. Like, I'll do maybe a category. Like in the last 2 weeks, you know, I did advertise my stockings, my Christmas stockings, where I put a stocking and then I added, you know, character items around it. So I did an advertising of stockings, the category of stockings, because I know that that's going to move, and if they're not sold by now, they're not going to sell. I'll either get them back or donate them. So I'll do, like, I won't do individual items. I do more categories. So I'll do, again, you know, different categories that I want to push out before I can't sell them anymore.
So you've really taken this bundling thing to levels that I don't think many people have. So you have people. Let's talk, if you don't mind, a little bit about your operation. And so at this point of your career, I mean, you have this MBA, this fancy MBA. As a matter of fact, not even an MBA like mine. You got a fancy MBA, a real one, you know?
And so I'm the debt to show for it
now. Oh, well, I'm probably better in that scenario than you. So you're approach to this is really a real business, right? I mean, do you have, walk us through the process, how this bundle process starts with your staff.
Well, I have to say I'm still the only buyer. So it's Irma DeHoyos buying
Oh, you're a buyer only. That's what you love.
That's what I love. And that's
creating a bundle or coming up with the bundle? Or I mean, yes. What percentage of the bundles do you come up with as opposed to the staff?
Mostly, me is like 75 and they do 25 with whatever that we could make it. But no, as I'm purchasing, as I'm looking through the catalogs, as I'm walking ASD, I'm thinking I'm going to put this with this and this. And so I'll make my purchase orders. They show up to my office. I don't have a warehouse on purpose because I don't want to hold any merchandise. I have an office, and so the items show up to the office, and they begin to bundle them and literally assemble them. I call them my minions, my assemblers, put them together, and then they give one sample to my creator who creates the pages. And as they're assembling them, they're creating the page, and then they put it for sale, first merchant fulfill, making sure that it's not declared hazardous for whatever silly reason.
right, smart, very smart.
And we make sure that the picture uploads before we ship out the item, and then we don't have the item to get the picture anymore. So we first merchant fulfill it for about a few days to see it gel, and once we know that the picture's good, it's Amazon is not saying anything about it being hazardous, then we package it up and ship it out FBA. My goal is 100% FBA, but because I also enjoy selling hazardous product like perfume, like nail polish, like oversized, then I do MF also.
Okay, so you do a little bit of that. Can I ask you this? So you have this new product, and let's call it the Descendants Party Package, right? How many do you buy initially? Is it because it's so hot and you see it so would it be – maybe it makes sense that it's different. So Star Wars would be way different than Flintstones, for example. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that way?
I asked the wholesaler, how many of these do you have? And so if they're giving me a low number, then I buy it all.
Okay, so that way nobody can come in because you're going to own every piece.
And I don't run out. That I come back and I want more, and they don't have any. And I did all the work, and I created the page, and then I can't even sell more. So.
Smart.
But minimum, I don't even touch some unless I can sell 50 of them.
Okay. So 50 is your minimum, but if they said, hey, we only have 300 of them, you're probably going to buy them all.
I just buy them all. Yeah. Go ahead and buy them all and lock it up and know that I have it.
So smart. Oh. Now, how do you price? Is the price based on what you think you can sell it for relative to what you paid for it, or is that really not relevant? You're going to try and price it?
Absolutely. I am a low profit, high volume seller. I know that that is my strategy. So, there's a limit as to how much people are going to pay for a paper plates or, a party pack. They're not going to pay crazy money. So I try to stay, my goal is $20, $25, $30, around there.
Okay. And so when you're buying, you're saying, hey, I got to make sure that I stay under this cost to try to get it there. Have you figured out what the optimal number is?
Yeah, it is. It is the third, one third for me.
Okay, so you can do that at a 35%.
Yeah, because that is my goal. Absolutely.
Do you have to... when a retail situation, right? So when they're going to sell something for $30, let's say, they started at $30 and they sell as many as they can at $30, and then they start marking them down. Is that kind of the way your business works, or because you're not doing 10,000 of them, you're most of the time able to ride it out at your same $30?
No, I everything has a price. And again, if I don't see the velocity that I want, that I need, then I lower the price, and I prefer velocity over margin. Absolutely. Unless I know that nobody else has it, and it's just a matter of time that people are going to buy it because they can't find it anywhere else. So I do also, that is one of the big consideration for me is that no one else can get it, and so I can command a price that I want.
Okay, so you're thinking of that, and that just is a trigger for you to say, hold the price because nobody else can get it, or wait, everybody or people start coming in on the listing or whatever, you're going to write it out and get it out quick.
Yes.
Eat it, move on.
Absolutely.
And so how long does your product line generally last? I guess you're not, you know, I mean, if you're doing clowns, I guess they could last a long time, but that's right. They'll last forever.
kids and teens, I'm sure they have an attention span that's only so long. So, you know, they're like Descendants until the next thing comes along. So you have to be ready to go in and out. Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, maybe those will always, I would say that's the only exception, that they'll always be popular. But most of the other characters that I deal with, because that's, again, that's, everything has to have a keyword, very conscious of keywords as I do my purchasing decisions. It's all about keywords.
I had a question that came to mind. Do you run into licensing problems? You're buying from wholesalers, so you're buying a licensed product, so that shouldn't be an issue. But when you start adding products from either Amazon or from a dollar store or something like that, let's just use your blue and orange balloons, right? You're doing a Disney plane set, and then you're adding blue and orange balloons to it. Do you run into a licensing product?
No, you know,
issue?
As long as there's an authentic item in there, then I can say that. I would say the only exception is Minecraft. Minecraft, I stay away from Minecraft because they're just, you know, as much as I can, I haven't had success in communicating with them and giving them receipts and everything. They just don't even care. So I just stay away from Minecraft.
So for the most part, and you're not diluting their brand in any way. Matter of fact, you're enhancing their brand because
it's right.
And you're buying it from legitimate sources. And I think that's the key. So where do you see your business going next? I mean, you're having a lot of success. You had an incredible year this year. Let me ask you this. What did you do different this year versus last year? Are you getting better? Is it getting easier? Have you figured more things out?
Well, I certainly expanded my office, so that helped. Because I had more space. So my office, I think, you know, you have to have the right space and set up so that things flow. And that, by the way, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that, because, it's year end, and I really got to start to think about all that.
Yeah.
Because it all happened so fast. Everything was just so fast. I can't say it was intentional, but day to day, it's intentional because I get up and I work hard.
Right. Well, I think it's consistency.
Oh, I did all that.
I think that consistent work, right? I mean, I interviewed Todd Lammy, and Todd talked about how he's crushing it too. And he's like, Steve, I didn't pay attention to Facebook. He said, I didn't even know that this stuff was out there. I just put my head down and did the work.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of it. So you expanded your workspace a little bit. Did you add staff?
Yes. I had staff seasonally, so like for the holidays in August, September, I'm hiring people, and they're temporary till December, and then it slows down. You are always fighting you want to grow, but you want to be more concerned about profitability, and especially because I do value very much time with my family and traveling, like. One thing that I'm known for is traveling, and I do a lot of traveling. So I have to set up. But what's going to be better now this year, for example, is, well, of course, my employees now have more experience, so I'm able to really be more hands-off, and they really run the show for me, and I'm very grateful to them for that, so that Irma can buy, because that's what Irma likes to do. And my husband is in charge of the accounting part and more human resources and logistics, and I free myself from other duties that I don't like so that I can concentrate on buying, because as I repeatedly say, you know, I'm in charge of this ship. It's a ship that carries a lot of people that, you know, depend on our income to raise a family and to, you know, contribute to their families. So, I have a single mom. I have several young, very young, bright employees that are just, you know, starting their life. And so they don't know how good of a job this is. They will later, but meanwhile, they're doing a great job for me. So I appreciate, you know, being able to, I can really stay home and know that things are being taken care of. So I've got
and that,
great
that's important. That's important. And so, but you do have challenges, right? Hiring people is not easy, right? Keeping them motivated because they won't work at the level that you work at, right? I mean, there is a challenge with that.
Right, right. Yeah. And in a way, you know, they do work, you know, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I keep going and sometimes I'll ask them to stay, but you know, they make me balance too, because, you know, technically I should also be working somewhat hours, you know, not all the time. And, you know, I've given them the license. I repeatedly tell them to question me, to ask, you know, to don't just do what I ask them to please. They, you know, I hire their brain, not their bodies. And so they need to give me feedback and keep me in line, because I'm not always right. And I'm, you know, and I make mistakes. So I open the door for constructive criticism all the time. And so I would say it is a challenge. Employees are a challenge, but it's a necessity, because if you, you know, if you want to grow, you have to hire, because you and like, I'm not an organization freak, but Amazon makes me be an Amazon organization freak. They're not very forgiving if you, you know, can't find the order, can't find the item for the order, or you don't respond, you know, to messages, or, you know, you're not looking at the ASIN changes. These are all details that are not in my nature. So I must recognize that and hire somebody to do that and train them. And then they're on their own and they can handle that for me. And I can continue to do what I'm best at. And that's, you know, be first to market, create products, certainly negotiate prices. I have very close, tight relationships with my wholesalers. You know, as an example, they had their Christmas party and I and my husband went to their Christmas party dressed up as Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus and handed out small gifts, but, you know, gifts nevertheless to, you know, 20 employees. And, you know, we only have to do that, but they're on there. You know, when, believe me, when I show up, they're like, Irma, Irma, this just came in, you know, and, or we're getting rid of this and they're lowering the price on this. And they're my buyers. I've got 20, you know, individual people there looking out for me at that wholesaler.
That's a big deal. I mean, it really is. And we shouldn't make light of it, because those relationships, you know, when that opportunity comes, and there's always an opportunity, they're going to think of you first, right? Uh-huh. And that's really important, right? That really is important,
yeah.
Especially if you're honest with them, what you do with it and your business model, they'll know, oh, wait, she wants this. We only have 300 of them. You better get these, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's way before anybody else. That's really good. Mm-hmm. How do you handle the photography, right? I mean, you're taking, you know, do you have a station set up?
Yes.
Do you have a studio in essence?
Well, yeah, we have a little station set up, a mini studio. And then I've got very talented Photoshop employees that know Photoshop very well, and so they handle all.
Did you train them, or did they come with that
no.
skill set? Did you hire that skill set?
Yeah, I hired that skill set.
Yeah, but see, that's a great lesson right there, right? So you bringing somebody with that skill set, there's no learning curve. They immediately know what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're speeding through.
Yeah.
So you're bringing the products in from multiple sources. You decide what the product looks like. As you said, they put it together. They send one into the processing or the development team to develop the listing and all that jazz. Who's reviewing it to make sure that the quality is what you want?
I am.
Okay.
At night, yeah, at night, I see, I do manage inventory and I see whatever has been added. I order it by date and I see all the activity for the day and I begin to look at it one by one. If the end product was what I had in mind.
Ah, that's important, right? Because you have a vision and you got to cast that vision.
Yeah.
But somebody else has to put it in place, right?
Yes.
And that doesn't usually – well, from a man and a woman perspective, it usually doesn't transfer well, right?
Sometimes.
So, yeah, sometimes, right? So what you saw, you look to see? And how often is it now, I guess with feedback, right, they're now – they know what you want in essence. That's kind of why you're able to stay away as much as you are. How much would you say that, you know – I mean, how often are you giving them feedback?
To my employees?
Yeah.
Oh, every day. Yeah, every okay. day. It's an evolving – you know, it's an evolving process. And they get feedback, and then they go back and they tweak it, or and they're like, but Irma, we didn't get that item, you know, and oh no, so then we got to go back to the invoices and see what happened. They didn't show up, etc. And then, you know what? Who else is a good feedback on the product is the customer itself. The customer, I'll begin to see the, you know, the what their feedback is, and so I'll adjust it to say, you know. There was this balloon set that I created, and the customers started. They started to give me a 1-star because they couldn't blow up the balloon because it's one of them long balloons, the clown balloons, as you say. And I didn't realize that those are very hard to blow up using just, you know, your lungs. You really need to get that pump. So now, of course, I got to go back and add that to the bundle because. They can't do one without the other.
So you went back and added a pump.
Yeah.
And then you revised the price probably a smidge.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And then do you go back to those customers who gave you negative feedback and try to make it right? Or what would you do in that scenario? Or is it too late because the party's over and they moved on?
Yeah, it's probably – and they're upset and it's very hard to change people's mind. I'll probably – just create another listing with the new one so that I can get rid of the negative, you know, stocks on that one and then just start new and create a new bundle and you know, promote that one because it's a Star Wars related one. So I know it's going to hit. It's just I didn't have it down right to the end user. I didn't have it correct. And so, yeah.
You're so smart. I mean, I knew you were going to say that. I'm thinking to myself, why doesn't she just – and boom, you already – I mean, that's exactly the right way to do it.
You know what it was, Stephen? This one, I got this idea from Etsy.
Oh, so wait, you source on Etsy for ideas.
Yeah.
So again, that's another trend.
Yes.
Idea, another place to search, right? Yeah. So you don't have to recreate the wheel every single time.
Smart. Etsy. I also follow Etsy and – you know, I typed in their Star Wars balloons to see what people were doing. And I found these, again, those long balloons. And you just, they had a do-it-yourself sabers where you literally add duct tape and some stickers. And you have sabers for kids, you know, for a party. It's just, you don't want to spend a whole lot of money. So I created that. And so I was really happy.
I love it. I just love the I love that you enjoy it. I can hear it in your voice that you enjoy it. And I think that that's really the lesson here, right, is that you have found the part of the business that you really enjoy, right? As you say, you're not over there packing boxes. That's not your thing. You're not taking pictures, creating listings. That's not your thing. You're the big thinker.
Yeah.
And you're the negotiator, the buyer. Mm-hmm. Now, you said you, when you're at ASD, you're walking down the aisles and you're looking for products, for ideas. I mean, when you approach ASD, would you already have a bunch of ideas in mind? And then you're saying, okay, I'm going to look for, you know, 6 or 7 products that I can put in that. Or does it just organically happen? You're walking down and you see a red dog and you're thinking, oh man, I could do a Clifford bundle because that's a hot toy this year. There's a movie coming out or what have you.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, I am going in there with, you know, what's the newest trend? Let me see what you've got for, you know, I'll just go up and say, you know, I need Big Hero. Tell me what you got for Big Hero. And then they'll say, no, we don't have anything. But then in my back of my mind, I'm looking for, you know, big plump, white plump figures that kind of represent Big Hero. I wouldn't, you know, buy any, just if I were to get the, there was nothing for Big Hero, then I would look for, again, the plush, white plush that kind of represents Big Hero, but then I would have to get something really Big Hero to call it a Big Hero bundle, because, you know, I can't say that's Big Hero, that's not Big Hero, but if I found the pencils or I find stickers, then I can say, Biggie Hero gift bundle, you know, that includes the stickers and a generic plush that kind of looks like him.
Okay.
And in my mind, like I said, I have in my mind, I already know all the movies that are coming out next year. I'm ready. I'm getting ready for Nemo. I'm getting ready for Kung Fu Panda. I'm getting ready for Avengers coming out again. So I know all the movies coming up, and I get ready for them before anybody else does.
Right. First to market, again, you're leading the wave. You're not going to ride the wave down. Right. You're going to sell out and then be, oh, okay. And then it's on to the next one because, you know, you sold that at a premium. Man, it's
most of my listings have at most five sellers. Most of them have me because I'm creating it. And then I'll get somebody in there and I'll write to them. And I say, you do realize that you're selling something that, you cannot obtain, you know, that is hard to, I just remind them the Amazon rule on that you have to sell exactly what's in the bundle to the dot. And then many times the sellers say, oh, sorry, I didn't realize I just list and I didn't realize that, you know, that bundle included that item that I custom make items to include in the bundles, again, to decrease the competition, which I already have a little bit of. You know, so yeah, I competition to me doesn't really is not too big of a factor, except just to keep them awake.
Okay, just to keep them awake. Okay, so you what's your new goal this year?
Okay, I mean, my goal for this year, I think what I will do is winnow my product line, like really tighten up the products and go deeper on those. I already to take advantage, you know, of my knowledge of having sold for the past 6 years. You know, I already know that stockings are not going to sell. I didn't do too well on the stockings, not as well as I did on other, you know. So basically, identifying the hot sellers and just staying with that, not get distracted with other sexy, just, you know, certain candies always sell, you know, candies are candies. They will sell for Christmas, and contacting the manufacturers so that I don't have to be RAing, because RAing right. is, you know, getting harder and harder, you know, I do it because, again, I get ideas and I see what's new, but then I'll be shopping for Valentine's right now. I'll buy one of each item that I like, and I'll contact the manufacturer and see if I'm able to strike up some deals. And if not, then I'll need to, you know, identify what I want and just hit all the stores now before anybody else and just buy 100, you know, and be done, not just a little at a time. So I think that's important to identify your winners. Identify your winners and go after them. And then also see what, when people are buying that winner, what are they buying with it, and bundle that.
And so that tells you on the bottom of Amazon, right? There's that rabbit trail. At the bottom, people who bought this also bought this.
That's
okay.
Gold right there. That information there is gold, because that's telling you what they're buying in there, and you can – upsells to you know, increase your average price, because that's what it's about there. You know, and people complaining about Amazon fees. Well, yes, when you're selling $10 and five goes to Amazon, it does hurt. So you got to move to $20, $30, $40. I'm not in electronics, so when I see those average selling prices of $50, $60, I cry, because that's not me, but I don't have the returns and I don't have the liabilities that they have. So
yeah, there's no hassles,
just have to
right?
Be comfortable with whatever you want and decide that's what you go. But go after it. Don't be scared to buy, and trust your instinct on that.
And have fun. I mean, again, you're excited about it. I mean, you're excited. 6 years into it, you're still excited. That says something.
Absolutely.
I mean, clearly you're working on it. Okay, so you know. I do want to ask you, is there anything that you would recommend for people to read, or any podcast that you recommend that somebody can use? And it doesn't have to be Amazon specific, but just, you know, to help them move forward. Anything you can think of?
You know, I guess if I were to have my learning budget of time and money, I would spend it on going to a conference, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, there's
yeah.
nothing like that. Yeah, it's just going to a conference and meeting people and going out there and just not feeling alone, you know, like you're the only one, you know, suffering the Amazon fire of, you know, bad feedback or lost products.
Right. Well, I think that was a great example you gave before. That poor person was carrying, as she described it, as a burden for months. And that was eating her alive, and you were able to help satisfy that in seconds, right? In minutes, you fixed, you took a burden off of somebody. That's a big deal. I mean, it is, her life got a little bit easier. You know, I'm sure the next challenge came up the next day, but that's a big deal. So I agree with you. I think that's great advice. And it's not that expensive. It really isn't that expensive when you think about it.
There's so many now. You know, you can just try to find one near you.
Yep.
Again, even if it's like ASD, which is not an Amazon one, but you will see a lot of Amazon. And then people, you know, do have walkthroughs where they charge minimal or just on Facebook, just say, hey, you know, anybody here from, you know, on Amazon from the Facebook pages, you know, the Scam Power, all the different ones. There's just so many. And so just, I, you know, put yourself out there at these conventions and meet the people that are behind all that. And they just want to help, you know, me, I only want to help you succeed. I'm not at all worried about competition. You know, I've even had, I should mention, I have had three employees that have, you know, gone on their own and, the problem is they compete directly with me, so that is an issue. But that's a risk I take. It's you know, like McDonald's. Anybody can make a burger, but who can stay in business? Who can make money? Who can doing it consistently? That's the key. And so I'm not afraid of competition. I happily share, you know, procedures. It did take me a lot of effort to get to my product line, to winnow exactly what to sell, how to sell it. But I've taught, I don't know, like six or seven people, relatives and friends, how to sell. And I'm really only one and a half, maybe two, you know, got the bug. And you either have the bug or you don't. And
right.
Some of it is necessity, you know, if you need to sell because, you know, you want to transition out of a career that's not working for you, try it out, you know, necessity may, but in the end, you have to like it. And then there's so many aspects, you know, there's like, again, if you're not outgoing, you don't want to be buying out there shopping, fine. Then do, you know, always stay at home on your computer and just buy. Or again, if you're creative, if you want to just create pages, then do that and concentrate on that. And there's so many, I mean, this business is very wide. So there's so many aspects that you just have to know yourself, what you're good at and stick to that and let others handle what they're good at. And don't try to be, you know, one thing to try to do it all because you can't, you know, we don't have that skill set.
Now, you're either right brain, left brain, or middle brain, right? So you're gonna find what you enjoy, and you can outsource the rest. I mean, there is a way to outsource every piece of this. I mean, there are people that have outsourced 100% of the business, from buying, shipping, of course, to accounting. Everything is outsourced.
Yes.
So you can, but you also want to enjoy it. I mean, I still think that that's the key, is you got to love what you do, and there's just so many ways to love what you do via products, via processes.
Right,
so,
right.
Oh, this is good stuff. I knew it. I knew it. Andy Slamon said, I have got to talk to Irma. He's like, you have to have her on. So he did not let me down in one way. Irma, what's the best way that people can get in touch with you?
Well, the best way is my email says a lot about me. SalsaDanceLover@gmail.com is my email.
Say that again.
SalsaDanceLover.
So you Irish stepper or what are you?
I could be Irish stepper or polka, but yeah, I love to dance salsa. And so you know, that email identifies me when I was single, and but I still love to dance salsa.
And then you're out on Facebook,
I'm
too,
on Facebook,
right?
Everywhere, yeah.
Okay, and I will put links to all that. I really appreciate you taking the time. You have a busy, busy life. You've got a lot going on. You're just crushing it, and I mean really crushing it. And it's just so impressive to see. I can't wait to see you. I'll be at ASD, so I will look for you. And I want to thank you and wish you nothing but a Merry Christmas and a great 2016.
Oh, thank you so much for putting this together. And, you know, even just the topic of women in e-commerce, it's kind of like, it's a given. It's like obvious, but no one's ever done
it's
it.
It's crushing me as a man. I mean, I'm realizing how inadequate I feel because you guys are killing it. And I'm thinking to myself, God, they're so much smarter than I am.
No. But, you know, my husband, this is not his thing, but he does the most important job, and that's he takes care of our son. And you know,
there you go.
I know that, and I appreciate everything that he does because I I'm the first one to say he's a better dad than I am a mom because that's what he you know, he loves our son. And I mean, of course, I love my son, but I also love Amazon. Like, it's really a pull for me to want to, you know, be working, quote unquote, working, having fun. And also being with my son, so
I understand.
It's everybody has talents and skills, and you just have to go for it and just take the risk. I'll end with this quote that I just put on Facebook about: if your dreams are not scaring you, they're not big enough.
Mm.
So, you know, my dream for next year is I'm building my retirement home. I'm going to build my home in Colombia, where I'll be happy to host anybody that wants to get to know Colombia and outside of Bogota. I'm building my retirement home there. And then, you know, yeah, why not 2 million? Why not?
Why not? Why not? I there's no doubt in my mind you're going to hit it. I say thank you again. I just impressed. And I love the spirit. I think that's the thing I'm going to take away from this is your spirit is just incredible, and I can tell you're having fun. So, thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.
I have to thank Andy Slammons for this. He's the one who pushed me, said, hey, you've got to interview Irma. You would be blown away, and he is absolutely correct. You know, this has been a great series, Women in E-commerce, and again, you know, all the joking aside, it just shows you the depth of knowledge that's out there, the intellectual abilities, regardless of the sex. It's just so cool. Just as Robin Jacoby said, Amazon is the fairest business. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. So next series coming up, The Young Guns. I'm looking forward to it. There's some amazing stories, and they've got some great stories to talk about how they handled the fourth quarter that I think we're all going to learn from. So jump back out to E-commerce Momentum website and follow all what we're doing out there. We've got a lot of changes coming forward. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.